just ahead of Pierre Maguire. Big thank you to Andrew Skarpatis. I'm one of those two, I'm sure, is how you pronounce your last name. It's not like Trent Dewey or anything. And thank you to Sam from Da Vinci's, stalwart on the Montreal scene. Sam's been in Florida as our next very special guest, who's always on at this time. We'll know and appreciate. Longtime regular back in the day. Sam had a pair of reds to the game tonight. Couldn't make it. Center ice red. So he auctioned them off. Highest bidder. It's Andrew Skarpatis. And the proceeds are going to the Clara Hughes Foundation. Enjoy yourself, Andrew. It's Melnick in the Afternoon on game night, hour number 3. Mitch Melnick along with Dave Trenadue in for Rod Francis. Sean Campbell's already at the rink at the Bell Center.
Pierre Maguire on TSN 690, brought to you by Dagwoods Catering. Make your office party a hit with Dagwoods Catering. Order online at dagwoods.ca.
I'm guessing your face and your smile lit up when I said Sam from Da Vinci's.
Sam Mazzafato, what a great man. Huh? Oh my gosh, I have so many great memories. I hope he's doing great down in Florida.
Well, you know, didn't you have like a private room up there? Whenever you...
No.
Yes, you did. I dined in the private room that you had one evening.
I went there a lot, and I really enjoyed it. And I used to take my family there a lot as well, and I really liked the place.
It's a great place. It's an institution. And when you were working with TSN, you had the crew in. I seem to think it was like a Sunday night or something. And you invited me out for dinner. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Where's the gang?" They said, "In the private room upstairs."
Yeah,
that's what happened.
I guess I don't know, but Sam's always been great. I miss seeing him a lot. You know what's really sad for me? I haven't had a game in Montreal in a long time, and I'm hoping that there's going to be a long playoff run in Montreal, so I can get up there a lot.
Well, let's start with this one tonight.
Here's a chance for Fowler. Scores. Right off the face-off win, and that has been an area that the Maple Leafs have just not been able to counteract the Ducks.
Okay.
Fowler's drive beats Anderson for a 3-2 lead.
Sorry, Joe. Fowler. Go ahead, Pierre.
Okay, I watched that whole game, much like I watched Philadelphia and Nashville as well. Didn't get to watch Detroit and Carolina because their game was canceled. And watch good portions of St. Louis and Edmonton. But I will tell you about that play last night. All you need to do is watch the TV replay. And good on Greg Millen, who is working the game for TV in Canada. That's the feed I was getting. And he looks around, talking about Ryan Kessler, and he looks around, and he's pointing at where he wants his guys to go. And Mike Babcock's trying to break a young player in, Frédéric Gauthier, young player, big center iceman, world junior guy, good player, going to be a very good NHLer. The kid lost a draw clean. It's Exhibit A of a veteran versus a kid. And Fowler just ripped that thing. He just ripped that thing. It was a rolling puck, too. There was no chance for Freddie Anderson.
So as you know, as the season started, a lot of people were strongly suggesting that the Anaheim Ducks were going to move Cam Fowler. And the kind of start that he's had, now that's not to say they won't move him,
right.
But he's making it tough on them, right?
Their defense is clearly their strength, and when you watch them play tonight, one of the things you're going to see is how they push the pace from the back end, whether it's Cam Fowler, whether it's Hampus Lindholm, whether it's Sammy Vatanen, they push the pace from the back end. And Randy Carlyle, who is a tremendous offensive defenseman, by the way, I think he's been misappropriated. A lot of people say he was a great shutdown defenseman. No, he wasn't.
Pierre,
he's a great offensive defenseman.
Let me just throw this in because we were chatting about it with Pierre LeBrun last week. We were chatting about the other guy. Only two guys in the history of the NHL who've won the Norris Trophy are not in the Hall of Fame. One of them is Randy Carlyle, and the other is Doug Wilson.
Yeah. Well, when Randy Carlyle won, he was a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And when Doug won, he was a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. But I would tell you this. Randy Carlyle was a great offensive defenseman. He was not a great shutdown guy, but he had an amazing year. Somebody that I worked with, Rick Keogh, was a teammate of his in Pittsburgh. And, you know, obviously my ties to Pittsburgh are long and deep. And that's the one thing that people don't know about Randy. He was a tremendous player.
He was a quarterback.
Really, really good offensive
right?
player. Yes, he was. Absolutely. But their defense pushes the pace from the back end, and they're really good at it.
All right. Are you surprised at all that Kessler's bounced back to this degree? It's interesting. We have of course, we'll talk more about this on Thursday with Minnesota. Eric Staal had a terrible year, and you start to look at guys in their 30s who've played a lot, and you wonder about them. He's rebounded nicely for Minnesota. Kessler, he's one of the best players in the league.
Well, he's part of that legendary 03 class that I've alluded to so many times as being the best draft class ever. I know a lot of people think 79 was better. I don't think so. Joe Pavelski in the 2003 draft was 205th in that draft class. I mean, think about that. Joe Pavelski was 205. In that, Dustin Byfuglien was like 265. You know, you go around, it's just scary. Anyways, all that being said, here's the deal. Kessler is playing with two guys that are so underappreciated. When I think about Jakob Silfverberg, I think about skill, poise, speed, and an amazing ability to finish. And he can really air it out. And then I think about Andrew Cogliano. He's not only got speed, he's got grit. Big-time grit. So that's an amazing line because Kessler won so many faceoffs. That line is fantastic. It's one of the better lines in the league.
Pierre, I've talked to you before about Silfverberg. I always liked this guy, even when he was in Ottawa. But at the end of every season, I look and I go, his number should be higher. He's got the talent to put up bigger numbers. Maybe it's coming.
Well, he was a huge point getter in Brynäs over in Javla in Sweden. He really was. He was really good at getting points. He was really good in the World Junior. I think it just took him a little bit longer. You got to remember, too, he's going from big ice to small ice. It's a different kind of game. But, no, his skill level is exceptional. You're not wrong on that, Mitch.
We'll get to the Habs and Anaheim Ducks in depth a little bit more. Melnick in the afternoon. Mitch Melnick, Dave Trenadue is in for Rod Francis. And as I mentioned, at the Bell Center, Sean Campbell. Sean?
Yeah, Pierre, you were talking about how young and quick the Anaheim Ducks defense core is and how much they like to push the pace. How does a coach look at that and try and counter? Like, what would Michel Therrien's game plan be against a defense core like that?
Passive resistance in the neutral zone. I wouldn't let the defense beat me up. So if you play an aggressive forecheck game, like a lot of teams in this league like to do, if your forecheck gets broken down and that defense jumps by your forecheckers, you're in trouble because you're giving up numbers the other way all night long. I remember we did this against the Washington Capitals in 1992. They had Sylvain Côté, Al Eifrede, Calle Johansson, and Kevin Hatcher. Those four guys all, I think, had 20 goals or more. If you look at it, I think it's the only time in the history of the NHL that you had four defensemen with those kinds of numbers. It was crazy cuckoo offensive numbers from their defense. They had a 3-1 lead against us in the series. We changed our whole neutral zone game. We played, rather than being aggressive 2-1-2, we played a passive 1-4 delay. We shut them down. We won the series and dominated the series. But we took them out of their sequencing. We took them out of their rhythm. And that's how I would play tonight against a defense like that. I would play passive resistance rather than aggressive.
All right, we're going to get to the Habs in a second. I want to pause here. You mentioned you were watching the Edmonton game last night, right?
Yep.
All right, there was a special moment. I want to give the other guys credit because it was one of the most touching scenes you'll ever see as a hockey fan.
Davidson, the Nugent Hopkins, trying to feed in front quickly to Maroon. Couldn't do it. It's cut back. Up to the blue line it goes. Here's a shot. They've scored and tied the game. Maroon in front. The puck might have deflected in, and the Edmonton Oilers have tied it 2-2 with 14:13 to go in the third.
And then Ryan Nugent-Hopkins won the game for them in overtime. Yep. After the game, longtime Edmonton broadcaster Gene Principe.
Yeah, well, yep. The goal was great, but I wonder what you think of this reaction by your son and family.
It's pretty cool. Pretty emotional. But it's pretty cool, but I don't get to see him as much, and it's pretty special.
Yeah, and he thinks that of you as well. Hey, Patrick, thanks a lot. Christmas is on the way. More time with Anthony.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it.
Wow.
Way to go. And, you know, Gene's a gentleman. Gene Principe is really a true gentleman. I've worked with him in a lot of different places, obviously not on the same side, but right next to him, and I think the world of him. He's a gentleman and a real good person. And Patrick Maroon is a St. Louis kid, and you know, he's had some kicks in the teeth over time, but he's found a way to survive in Edmonton, and he's a big body that can play offensive hockey. That's his thing. He's not going to be in a transition game. His thing is getting to the net. His thing is dominating board play. That's going to always be his thing.
And for those who didn't see it, they flashed to his son wearing his jersey, jumping up and down after he scored that tying goal late in the third period. And I know it's something you allude to every Friday, Pierre, about your family, right? People, fans tend to lose sight of what's going down with these guys. It's always about what are they doing or not doing on the ice for 2.5 hours every night.
This is the hard. I find this for me personally to be the hardest time of the year, because this was such a great time for me with the World Junior. I used to love spending time with my father, watching the great Canadian young players play. This is an emotional time of the year for everybody. And so, you know what, I just think it's a happy time of the year, but my greatest memory in my life, I hope, will always be the family that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of. And I hope everybody has the same feelings. That's all. That's why I say that every Friday.
Habs and Ducks tonight. Count me among the people who 30-plus games in is surprised that the number one defense pair on the Montreal Canadiens is still Shea Weber with Alexei Yemelin.
They get a tough challenge game in, game out. You know, they play against top players. And the thing that I like, you know, they don't get cut out of position. They're really physical. They keep their game simple. Defensively, you know what, I like the combination of those two. I think the fact to play with a guy like Shea really helped them. Weber's a top defenseman in the league. I got so much respect for him, the way that he do a lot of good things on the ice. And one of the quality of a player like Shea, he's going to make people around him better. And this is exactly what he's doing. The chemistry with those two is having so far.
Okay, so there it is. There's the coach today on that pairing specifically. Do you see a weakness moving forward at all, as well as things are going now with those two as a pairing?
I just worry about fatigue. You know, I talked to you about this at the beginning of the year, Mitch. I just don't want to see him upwards of 30 minutes. You know, right now they've got to keep, I think, between 22 and 24 minutes a game. I think if you go above that, you're going to start to see a breakdown in his game. I've tracked him and watched him for a long time. And especially last spring, it was not easy for him. I think he'll be the first person to tell you that. Too many minutes, he was carrying a major matchup load. It was not easy for him, and it broke down at a key time. When they really needed him the most, he was not capable of doing it. It's not because he's a bad player. It's just that fatigue kicked in. And this is a man who's really worked hard to be where he is. And so that's my only concern is, and I think they're starting to. I think if you look at it, and I don't have a chart in front of me, I'm in Philadelphia right now. If you look at the minutes from the start of the year to now, I think they're understanding on the Canadian side of things just to drop it back just a little bit. And I think they're doing it very well.
Well, and to continue on that theme, Andrei Markov's got the lower body injury, got a leg injury. He's not playing tonight. Therrien on Markov specifically.
He's a really important part of this hockey team. He's doing a lot of good things on the ice, and that's why we don't want to rush his injury. It's not a major one. It's a day-to-day. The most important thing for him and for us that he's 100%. I'm not aware of the degree of the injury, how painful it is. But right now we're in December, and this is not Game 7, you know, so we got to be smart about it.
It's his 38th birthday today, Andrei Markov.
That's amazing. What a career. Seriously, what a career. Fantastic career. And I remember when we talked about him before he came over. We were doing radio
shows. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, we were. And I remember telling you, this guy's going to be a keeper. He's really good. I think the one thing that's really important, and you probably have the schedule in front of you, I look at every team's schedule every Monday. The Canadian schedule coming up is hellacious. Well, it's not easy. And I think they'll probably lose a little bit of ground in the standings. That's normal because the schedule's been pretty good for them to date. It's not going to be good for them probably until the end of January, if I'm correct.
The end of June will be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good if it would be the end of June. But I think you would agree with me. Their schedule until the end of January is pretty tough.
It's nuts. It's really nuts. And that's why, you know, they are holding it together so far. The big test is the month of January. It's outrageous. So Nathan Beaulieu gets first crack at the Markov minutes alongside Jeff Petrie tonight.
He can handle it.
Go ahead.
He can handle it. You know how bullish I am on this player. He can handle it. The most important thing, and I think they figured this out this year. I don't think they figured it out last year. Be positive with him. Don't beat him down. If he makes a mistake, put him back out there. Every player is different. This is a guy that needs to be treated a little bit differently. Give him the velvet glove. Don't give him the freaking sledgehammer. That's what every guy's different. There's some guys that respond to the sledgehammer. This guy responds to the velvet glove. Just give him the velvet glove.
Sean Campbell has been known to wield a sledgehammer from time to time, especially on the ice. Sean?
Yeah, just once or twice. The Canadiens' power play is going to be looking interesting with their number one unit without a centerman. Radulov, Gallagher, and Pacioretty with Andrew Shaw out. That's what they've decided to try out tonight.
I don't think that's that big an issue, though. If you think about it, being a centerman on a power play is just a starting point in terms of puck possession. After that, it doesn't matter. You know, I remember Sean clear as day because I was helping to draw it up along with Scotty Bowman and Barry Smith, our power play in Pittsburgh. And Ronnie Francis would take our center ice plays. Mario would be on the wing. Ronnie would take faceoffs, and then he'd go back on the point and play with Larry Murphy. So we'd have a guy taking faceoffs who would eventually go back and play the point. I think it's just a starting position more than anything else on the power play. It's not really anything nearly as important as 5-on-5.
Or I think this guy's going to see some power play time.
It's an honor for me to play with these guys. You know, Captain and Radu, it's awesome. They got experience. They make me feel comfortable. Radu's obviously a hard worker, very, very skilled too. It's great to see that. And Pasha's obviously a great shooter. So it's good to have the help of those two guys.
There's your man, Philippe Danault.
Yeah.
An honor to play on that first line. How about that?
This goes back to learning how to be in the league. And he learned from the very best guys in the league right now, whether it be, Taves, whether it's Keith, whether it's Seabrook, whether it's Kruger, whether it's Kane. It doesn't matter, but he learned. He learned in Chicago. And that's why the Canadiens in the 70s were so great. Guys were learning coming into the system, whether it was Jarvis, Riseborough, Gainey, Nyrop. Didn't Langway, it didn't matter. Guys learned. You know, even Dryden in 71, you're learning from Beliveau, from Richard, from Cornwallis. My gosh, imagine that. And I think guys like Philippe Danault that learn from winners like Taves and Kane and Seabrook and Keith, that means a lot. And so you hear the respect that they have. That's how it's supposed to be.
Glad you mentioned Bill Nyrop. There's a name I haven't heard for
oh
years.
Oh, my gosh. Passed away so young,
yeah.
Oh, my. You know what, Mitch, I don't know if you know this. He was working for us in Pittsburgh. He was coaching our farm team down in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
No, I had no idea. The last I heard of Nyrop, he was working in the Florida League there, East Coast.
Billy was working for us in Pittsburgh, and then he went down south. His dad was a president of Northwest Orient, which is now Delta Airlines. And, you know, Billy went to Notre Dame. He was a great guy. He had a huge ranch out in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, excuse me. And I never made it out there, but I had spoken with him quite often, and then he got really sick from cancer, and he died extremely quickly.
He was really fast
after the diagnosis.
He was such a key guy on that team that people forget because of the big three, but Bill Nyrop was a heck of a defenseman.
And the late Ron Caron, he's the one that pushed for Bill Nyrop. Back in those days, most teams did not draft U.S. college players. And Bill Nyrop was an amazing athlete. He's a great football player, a lot like Langway, by the way, at University of New Hampshire. And Nyrop and Langway were pretty darn similar, if you remember back to their styles. But it was a late Ronnie Caron that really pushed for Nyrop, I can tell you that.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire prior to the Habs and Ducks tonight at the Bell Center. Sean Campbell's on site, and we'll hand things over to Sean at about 7 o'clock. They announced the roster for the Spengler Cup today, and among the players added to the roster, Mason Raymond, who played a couple of games earlier this season, and Gregory Campbell, who was just waived by Columbus. Could you see if Gregory Campbell has a really good Spengler Cup coming back for the stretch? Or is he done?
I would love for that to happen. I'm very good friends with his father. I think the world of the young man. I've known him for a long time. I watched him make the 03 World Junior in Halifax. He beat, believe it or not, he beat out Eric Staal to make the World Junior in 2003. He did. Gregory Campbell did.
Wow.
He was part of a Kitchener Ranger team that had Derek Roy on it, and he and Gregory were part of that Kitchener team that eventually went to a Memorial Cup. I've always thought the world of Gregory. I remember doing the game where he broke his leg and he stayed out there after blocking a shot for the Bruins. Just amazing courage. I can't see it. No, I can't. A lot of teams had opportunities to get him, and his father, Colin, knows that. Lots of teams had chances to get him, and they just, you know, they thought something was lacking. He's had an unbelievably hard career. I mean, he's earned every single paycheck he ever got in this league. He deserves everything he gets. I hope they win the Spengler Cup. By the way, Canada's coach last year at the Spangler Cup, he's coaching in Ottawa right now, Guy Boucher.
Who's their coach? Sean, who's the coach of the Spangler Cup, Campbell?
Not Guy Boucher this year.
All right, Habs and Ducks, Pierre, what do you think?
That was a hard game for Anaheim last night. I mean, they won the game in Toronto. It was a hard game. Montreal have got to be smart in the neutral zone. If you get beat up the ice by the defenseman, I think it's a tough night for Montreal. If Montreal plays smart in the neutral zone, I think they have a real good chance to beat them. But it's all, I'm telling you, everybody will say this, you know, whether it's power play, penalty kill, the neutral zone will dictate the terms of this game tonight. I really believe that.
Thanks as always, Pierre. We'll talk to you in, you're in Philly, spending the night
in
Philly.
I'm in Philly.
Yeah?
Yep. Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow, Washington, Philadelphia, and then I'll be in Montreal. Actually, I'll be in Montreal on Thursday match.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, like, no, I know you don't drive, but.
Well, no, I hire people to drive me, you know. But I can't.
Think about it.
Yeah, I can't. I over the holidays, I hope.
I hope.
Okay.
That's
you,
the plan.
You promised me like a liquid refreshment.
More than one. Especially if you have somebody driving you.
And, yeah, we're working on that for sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Pierre. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.